To make sense of the numbers and the race, we've got Robert Trainum, who runs his own consulting firm in Washington, D.C., and is an adjunct professor at George Washington University, plus Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. Robert and Mary, great to hear from you again.
Yes, great to be with you.
Hi, Fry.
Hey, so Robert, I'm going to start with you on this whole gender question. What about Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Senator Barack Obama, and the gender question? What do you think about that whole breakdown?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. Here's why. A lot of women can identify with Hillary Clinton on various levels. Number one, obviously, she's a woman. She's very defined. Given her 8 years in the White House and her 6.5 years in the United States Senate, they can identify with her as a working mom. They can identify with her as someone that obviously went through a lot of personal struggle with her husband's alleged infidelities. So, and they also admire her because of her intellectual prowess. So that doesn't really surprise me. What really does surprise me, frankly, is that a lot of women of color are also attracted to Hillary Clinton. I would have thought, given the dynamics of this race, that they would have gone after Senator Obama because not only of his African-American roots, but because he has such a very strong wife who plays a very prominent role in his campaign.
Mary, what do you think?
Well, I think that basically all of what Robert said, but besides that, these poll numbers show that people who are either needy themselves are concerned about the needy and about policy that they think needs to be changed in the country support Clinton. People who are concerned about the level of discourse and whether rhetoric should be pure and whether we should have Camelot again, like Obama and his broad themes that he talks about, and identify with that. It shows also that people who, in fact, want somebody to hit the ground running and take charge and clean out what they regard as the corruption, which is already in government, want somebody who's experienced. I think if Obama starts talking about more about the needs of people who are needy and comes forward with more ideas, he can change that. But until he does that, the half-flown rhetoric might appeal to people like me who are intellectuals and other people. But for folks who are concerned on the ground level about the needy, whether they're needy or not, they want to see some substance, and they think that Hillary Clinton represents that.
Mary, I was just talking to someone the other day referring to what you were saying about messaging, who was like, when are they going to start saying something? When are they going to start putting out a plan? Is there a cycle, Mary and then Robert, where people put out their policy proposals at a certain point in the campaign, and when can we expect to hear more specifics?
Yes, there's a cycle, but this year all bets are off because the campaign started so early. We could talk about what the cycle was before. Now everybody's trying to figure out what do you do and when do you put things out, and they're looking at the calendar, and they've already, all the candidates have come out with a few proposals and ideas. They're going to be feeding them forward, but as we come closer to the primaries, there will be more and more, I think, discussion about policy proposals, but the schedule is off this year because
Robert,
it's just taking so long.
I agree with Mary. I mean, frankly, the rules have been thrown out the window. Keep in mind, Farai, that in previous election cycles, people did not even announce they were running for president until the year before, and here we have individuals that are announcing that they're running for president 2 years out. And so literally you have all of these candidates, every single one of them, that are making the rules up as they go along. And also, too, you also keep in mind, too, a lot of these individuals do not want to announce their plans when no one's paying attention. And traditionally, in the summertime, when individuals are going to the beach, when they're, doing Little League games and so forth, they're not paying attention as it relates to who's running for president and what their plans are. I suspect that probably around Thanksgiving, Christmas time, the beginning of next year, is when you will see all of the presidential candidates outline exactly what their vision is for America in specific detail. I must admit, the only presidential candidate on the Democratic side that I think has really outlined his proposals, if you will, for poor people and American in general, is Senator John Edwards. And the only person on the Republican side that has gotten to a little bit of detail on his issues is Mayor Giuliani, mainly because he feels as though he has to starve off any potential folks that are running for the nomination.
Robert, why don't you follow up with another demographic group, Latinos? Mm-hmm. Now, we saw a mass exodus of black voters from the Republican Party during the LBJ days because so many refused to support civil rights legislation, Republican legislators, that is. Now, you've got this situation with this wrangling over immigration, and you've had, in the past, marches in the streets. The Republican Party has been fighting really hard for the Latino vote. It seemed to be making great inroads for a while, but is the wrangling over immigration going to derail that, or is there enough support from leaders like President Bush for changing the laws that it could be a toss-up either way?
Well, I think the jury's still out, but there's no question about it that Republicans feel that this is a toss-up, not only from a political standpoint, but also from a moral standpoint. The president was on Capitol Hill earlier this week urging senators to not make up their mind yet, to vote for the immigration bill. Keep in mind, Farai, that 16% of Hispanics make up the California electorate, 11% in New York, 17% in Arizona, and 9% in Florida. It is a huge voting bloc, and there's no question about it that they are traditionally fairly conservative when it comes to traditional marriage, when it comes to faith-based issues, when it comes to school choice, but also they're a little bit more liberal when it comes to immigration and education and health care. So literally, this voting bloc is up for grabs, and the question becomes, frankly, is whether or not the only Hispanic in this race, Governor Richardson, makes a difference in terms of those individuals voting for him as opposed to someone else.
Mary, what do you think? And also, let me throw something else in there. The Latino voting bloc, unlike African Americans, also has a high number of non-citizens who live in the country. And that's also true for Asian Americans. Right. How does that affect all of this calculation?
Well, right now the percentages are what Bob said, but the politicians are thinking about now and the future. The Latino vote is going to get larger, as is the Asian vote, because their children are legal even if they're not. And so if you look down the road, you can see that these numbers are going to get higher. You've got one group of Republicans looking at right now and the future and saying, we got to have these voters. You've got another group out in the West saying, we got to hold them off. We got to, you know, have a standoff, because if they take power, then we won't have power. But they're looking to the past. They can't stop the flow. They can't do anything. The Democrats are in the best position right now, because by and large they are supporting immigration reform. Not all of them, but by and large they are supporting it. So even if it doesn't go anywhere, it will appear that they tried to do everything they could, and they're making amendments, the candidates are, to try to deal with some of the issues the Latinos want. But the future is more and more Latino vote, more and more Asian American vote, because the children will be legal even if the parents are.
You know, this is a very interesting phenomenon that we're talking about. Keep in mind, I disagree with Mary to a certain degree, because the Republicans, I think, actually have the upper hand on immigration. You have a president that stood up not only in Europe early this month, but also at the White House, and also obviously on Capitol Hill earlier this week, and said, I want an immigration bill. This is important. This is a legacy issue. This is a moral issue. So for the first time, I think in a very, very long time, arguably since probably the beginning of the Bush presidency, this president is standing up and saying, I want this and I want this now, mainly because this is good for the country.
But he's not up for reelection. And he's a lame duck president, and he has to drag those 25 votes in the Senate with him. If he's able to pull it off, and they're able to support it, and it goes forward, it will be a boon for them.
We're almost out of time, but
it won't be.
But I was just thinking about this moment that happened in the last Republican debate, where Wolf Blitzer from CNN was moderating, and he was like, "If anyone here is not in favor of English being the only language of the United States, please speak up." And Senator McCain spoke a little bit, but there was no one, as opposed to the Democratic debate where everybody was like, yeah, sure, you know, we don't really need an English only. And very, very briefly, almost out of time, is that going to be an issue, Robert and then Mary?
I don't think so. I don't think this is going to look, Hispanics and Latinos are going to vote based on health care, based on economic opportunities. You know, they want to speak proper English. They want to speak English. There's no question about it. But in terms of them actually voting on this issue, I just don't see it happening.
I don't think English only will cut. I think where people stand on immigration reform and citizenship and a path to citizenship and the other social issues will be more important.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to look at all of the different demographics that are going to make up this vote, which won't take place for another 15 months. But, hey, it's already in the game. Mary and Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, and Robert Trainum runs his own consulting firm in Washington, D.C., and is an adjunct professor at George Washington University. Both guests join me from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.